Hello and welcome to World Shop, the podcast where we tell stories. I'm a living corpse, and with me is Cody. How's it going, buddy?
You did the intro differently, and I don't know what to do with my hands.
So you'll probably hear it a little bit later. I just walked around the apartment, so I'm feeling a little bit more energy, but I am sick, and I am dying, my friend. It's like one of those where it's like, it's not COVID, but it's like all of these symptoms of COVID. So like, if it's like in pain and coughing and like fatigued, it's like, oh, kill me. But yeah.
You also look really bad, just visually.
Okay,
it's
hey, come on.
Rough, you know, to look at.
You don't have to kick him in when he's down. I do have my bags under my eyes, but you don't have to kick him in when he's down.
And I mean, he means that literally. You have two Walmart bags just hanging from your ears.
It's like some people do earrings, but I do Walmart bags. But please, tell me how you're doing. Please.
I'm doing fine. Doing pretty okay.
Welcome to World Shop, the podcast where both of the hosts are beating the crap out of. We are living.
I've had an exhausting but mostly successful week so far, so that's a W. And we're recording, which means I'm not currently driving my car, which is also a W. And
which means I'm currently not in a different state.
Yeah.
Which is also a W. But I was not in a different state because I traveled 2 weeks in a row. Someone asked, oh, do you want to travel this week? And I'm like, no, I really don't.
Yeah.
And if you make me, I will cry.
But yeah.
What have you been up to recently?
That is a good question that I was thinking about. And
as you comb your beard, and I'm proud of you for taking care of your face.
Look, sometimes my beard gets like a little tangle in it, and then I have to comb it out.
That's
you
what
know?
You're supposed to hey, that's what you're supposed to do.
But okay, so things I've been up to lately, it's all weird stuff, so sorry about that. It's not like this book or this TV show, really.
Esoteria.
So Mandy listens to a podcast with my son called, is it Live from the Stinky Dragon? Tales from the Stinky Dragon. It's the same that, people
I, every time you interact with Mandy on the show, it's so funny because you like turn around and like say a full sentence and you'll get one word back, and it's so funny. Is it Live from the Tales? All right.
Well, she's editing.
I know she is.
So anyways, it's like it's a D&D podcast, and it's made by the same like group that made, I think, Red versus Blue.
Oh, okay.
Rooster Teeth. They made Red versus Blue, right?
Which I think they all got fired recently, so that's kind of fun.
Well, whatever. But anyways, so
I think Rooster Teeth finally got dissolved.
So the podcast though is fun, and it's like child friendly enough, but my son's obsessed with it. And particularly there's a character that is an archer, right? So then my Huh?
Get it? You said Archer and I screamed.
Oh, Lana, I get it.
Okay. So we're back for 1,000 right now. I'm dead.
So he was asking about archery, and I was like, oh, like when I was a little kid, my dad made me a bow and arrow. And so I went
and you know what you gotta do.
Well, so I went and found that bow and arrow and like set it up and let him shoot it a little bit, you know, and it actually had written on it, I got it when I was 5, which is how old my son is. So then I was like, oh, okay, so I need to learn how to make a bow and arrow for him, right? So now I've been getting into bow making, and that is a great hobby because it's really cheap. So I already do some woodworking, right?
Yeah.
And the thing about woodworking is it is really related to the type of the cost of it is very much related to the type of wood that you use and then scales dramatically with the quantity of wood that you use.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
So what that means is that, like, sorry, hang on, my phone's super
loud.
Can
you not have your phone? Yeah, can you please? Come on.
I just turned it down.
Like, we're not a professional podcast, but can you at least, like, have some manners?
It's been a while since I've needed to have my ringer on, but there's reasons why I have to have my ringer
you
on right now.
You record with other people.
So, anyways, so, like, if you wanted to make something out of walnut, right? Well, a walnut board maybe costs $30 to an oak board that costs $5. So if you're buying one board, the difference between a project costing $5 and a project costing $30 is not that much. But if you're making a table, you go from a project costing $200 to a project costing like $6,000 to make, right? Like,
yeah,
tables made out of really expensive hardwoods are super expensive. Like, just buying the material is really expensive because you just need so much of it and it's multiplying. So like, if a board costs 10 times as much, well, one board, who cares? But if you need to buy 50 boards, now all of a sudden that's 50 times, you know, like all that additional cost. So anyways, the thing about making a bow
to a dude who has to like spec out large platforms made out of stainless steel. So like, you're saying this, but yeah, I know.
Right.
It's the same principle.
Right. One piece but what of stainless it means steel
is not that bad. A couple hundred is a lot.
Well, right. And what it means though, for me, is that a bow is one piece of wood or two. And even I could make that out of the most expensive board of wood imaginable, but the cost is going to go from $5 to maybe $50. And it's like, well, that's not that much. But I'm also having to learn stuff like how to do like twist a bowstring, which is complicated.
Yeah, I guess you can do that by hand rather than doing it on a machine. Huh?
Twisting a bowstring?
Yeah.
I did it by hand, yeah, the other day, and I did it.
Because I thought, oh, yeah, they usually just do, and then it's done. But if you're doing it by hand, it's...
Well, so there's two types that are typically used. One is an infinite loop, and the other is called a Flemish reverse twist string. So what I'm doing is a Flemish reverse twist string, which you do by, like, twisting and then like braiding. So you like twist the string one way, then wrap it on itself the other, and then that like locks in the string and whatever.
Man, YouTube controls the world because you can learn all this shit on YouTube.
Well, and so I didn't have the right kind of thread, and I also did not have wax, and I used a glue stick. But I did successfully make something that could throw an arrow.
Buy wax.
Well, you have to buy.
Always do this to yourself. Will you just like, I don't have this thing. Who cares? I'll just use this cheap thing.
So in this case, it's a matter of I have to order the stuff, and Amazon doesn't have it, which means I have to get it from like a specialty store, which means I'm going to be waiting for like standard shipping to get a like brick of bow maker's wax.
Yeah, is there not like an archery store near you?
Not really, you know. Actually, not really. There's a couple of ranges, but not for anachronistic bow making.
Ohio, I think you might be able to find the place.
But anyways, so that's been fun to get into. My goal now, so I'm making two like kid sized bows, and then I want to make an adult-sized bow that has a much lighter pull than the bow that I have, because the bow that I have, it's like
40.
It's I think 50, and it's a hunting bow, and it's just not.
But it's like you need that much force.
I need a very noodly bow that I can shoot for fun with friends.
Yeah, you just want to play around with a bow having a 50-pound pull.
Yeah, it's not.
That's going to hurt after like two shots.
Well, so I remember in high school, and I think I've told you this before, where like we did archery, and me and three other weirdos brought our own bows, and we were allowed to, you know? We just had to bring them in a case and leave them at the office.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're like shooting at targets, and the bows that the gym class have are like a joke, right? They leave them strung all the time. We were hitting the targets and flipping the targets over when we hit them, because it was like me and two other guys that had like compound bows with triggers on them, you know. So it was just like, it'd be like thunk, and then the target was flying, and we're like, all right, hang on, we gotta go reset the target.
Yeah, when your compound bow is basically just the equivalent of a gun.
Yeah, yeah, they were definitely like, I have my bow gun. Yeah, let's do this.
Yeah, it's like one step down from a crossbow. It's like, geez. you shouldn't be using that on gym class archery equipment.
Yeah, it was funny, but
that is funny.
You know, it's a fun hobby to pick up, and it's a relatively inexpensive one, given how expensive my hobbies can get, because I do expensive hobbies. I was going
to
say,
we are now listening to, like, the 80th hobby you've just, like, gotten into randomly.
Get into a lot of hobbies.
In the course of this podcast, where we had the belt and table making, we were now at building computers, we had that for a bit, now we're at archery and building, building bows.
I would still like to build computers. It's just not the money is not worth the time anymore, considering how much I travel. Mandy just sent me an archery range. I'm excited.
I hate you. So, Cody.
Yeah.
You got anything else?
No, I think that's it. Basically, archery.
I love that pit of silence rather than you just ask me what I've been doing. I love that pit of silence there. I hate you.
Hey, Jordan, what have you been up to lately?
I hate your lack of respect for me.
I think you're deciding that I don't respect you.
Cody, I'll just ask, do you respect me?
Huh?
Do you respect me?
I'm just going to throw a no comment on that one. You know?
Exactly, because we both know the answer, Cody. We both know the answer, but I know how you truly feel.
Anyways, what have you been up to, Jordan?
So, as I spoke to you last week, I have so our show We Belong, we talk about anime and stuff, and on We Belong we decided to start doing a thing where we would take like one mangaka or one author and just like kind of do a showcase and talk about that person, their works, and all of that stuff, kind of in the style of like how Wizard and Bruiser does their episodes, but a little bit more like intensive on one subject rather than like trying to do something every week.
Yeah.
And so we did Junji Ito, and I read all but one of his American released works. So I've read 17 Junji Ito books in the last 3 weeks.
That's a lot.
Yeah, and it was just like really good. Just like to read a lot of like just like all these horror short stories and all of these like different stories for all about different types of horror and things like that. It was really interesting to go through all of them. And so we did that episode, we recorded it, and I'll probably end up releasing it on the World Shop feed, since We Belong to Stream and we don't have a feed.
Oh, yeah. I'm not
paying for a feed because it's so expensive.
Right.
I already do two, I don't need more. So, but yeah, it was cool. Junji Ito, lots of...
What type of stuff does Junji Ito do?
So he does horror manga, and it ranges anywhere from like body horror to like Cronenberg type shit to like, do you just think of Rick and Morty when I said
yeah,
that?
Yeah, I do. Just whenever you say Cronenbergs, I just imagine the like Rick and Morty Cronenbergs now.
Yeah. That I knew exactly why you laughed. And so, but yeah, to like Eldritch horror or like the unexplainable, oh, something is happening in this town and we don't know what it is, but it's coming for us type horror.
Yeah.
To like one of his most popular things is Tomie, which is about this girl who's like kind of a shapeshifter and has this power to basically make men fall in love with her. But like the whole story is basically about how men want to destroy beautiful women, and it's just very interesting the way he kind of like shows and portrays like that concept. But yeah, all sorts of things, and I enjoyed Junji Ito's World of Horror. I read too much and my brain is mush.
Other I was gonna that, say that sounds like something that would get miserable to read after reading like 50 of them right in a row. That seems like a hard one to do.
It never got miserable. I will say, for like consuming that much horror, especially where a lot of it is about people and like kind of showing how society treats people a lot, it wasn't that hard of a read, I will say. They're not light reads, it's not easy, but it wasn't as hard as like some of the other stuff that has destroyed my soul before. It's not like binge watching 5 seasons of BoJack Horseman kind of hard.
Yeah, that's no joke. Oh boy. Yeah,
that is no joke. The other thing, I think it's been a while since we recorded, so I did catch up with Rick and Morty.
Oh, yeah, me too, yeah.
That was a lot of fun. The most recent season is very good, and
I really enjoyed it. Yeah, actually, no complaints. I think, like, I was watching it while I was, like, in and out of weird insomnia, hotel sleep, like,
ooh,
you know.
That can't be good for your brain.
Well, it ended up being okay because it meant I could kind of chew through it pretty fast and I didn't have to, like, make an event of it. So the duds just kind of washed over me, you know?
Yeah, there's a few here and there. But, like, I will say, at least the news season was pretty good. Pretty good. And then I watched the new season of True Detective Night Country. I really enjoyed it.
I started it, and it was, like, when it was still releasing, so I didn't finish it. And I wasn't...
It's only 6 episodes, actually.
Yeah, so it's not a lot. There were only two episodes out, though, when I started watching it, so I watched those two and then stopped.
I really liked it.
Well, and I like... what is her name?
Jodie Foster?
Yes, I really like Jodie Foster, so, like, kind of any excuse to see Jodie Foster.
That's she's great, and she's great in that show. I like her character, even though her character is kind of an asshole.
Well, it's appropriate for True Detective. But
yeah, no, I liked it, and I liked like that they kind of did more of like a horror or supernatural ish, where it's like I watched interviews, and I'm like, oh yeah, everything in this show has a realistic explanation. But if you want to lean on the like, oh, this was supernatural, you absolutely can. I'm like, oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, I mean that was true for the first season as well. Yeah. That like it was ambiguous.
I really like the way they did that in this season. I really like it was kind of spooky, kind of weird, and a lot. What I like most about True Detective, and I mean they really didn't do this in season 2 and I never watched season 3, but they got back to it in season 4, is we get two detectives on kind of like just completely different types of people, and they are forced to work together to solve this unsolvable case. And like seeing them clash or how they relate to each other throughout the show is just really fun. And I really enjoyed that. And I'm glad that True Detective is like, yeah, season 3 sucked. Let's actually do some good stuff now.
Oh, you know what? I just remembered something I did start watching that's sort of similar. Have you ever watched Barry?
No, I have not. I heard it's really good.
It takes a while to get
slow burn
to where it's really good, but I will say by season 3 it's weird because it's Bill Hader.
Yeah, he's a very great comedic actor. Well, not being funny.
And the conceit of the show is funny, right? It's like, cuz you know, do you know the conceit of the show, like,
yeah.
Right? So, assassin becomes an actor and is like in like a joke, like a washed up like acting coach school in LA. Like that's funny. And it is. But then like it like by the time you get to the 3rd season, it's like he's really scary and is actually really good at being frightening. You know, it's got I think maybe this happens
I can't imagine it because I know all like a lot of his other stuff and he is so funny.
And that's
being terrifying.
And there's points where he has like comedic timing in the show, but then there's other parts where you're like, oh, this is really profoundly uncomfortable. And like, because what's the other actor's name?
Henry Winkler, right? Is that him?
Yeah. A scene where they're like talking and it's so, because he also plays like a joke character.
Yeah.
And there's a part where they both like the masks fall off and they like have like this really intense scene. And I'm like, oh, like this has lost all sense of fun. Like, it's just
this is
a terrified old man talking to an insane serial killer. And that there's no artifice, no humor on top of that. It's just like, I feel uncomfortable. I think that's what happens with like Breaking Bad, as I understand it, is eventually like you're like rooting for this character for so long and then eventually you're like,
oh no, oh, I've been cheering on the wrong dude.
I think I now no longer am on his team. You know?
Yeah, he's a really bad dude. I think like by season 3 it's like, uh-oh.
But yeah, I would say Barry I think deserves a recommend. I'm surprised to say.
Yeah, I'll have to check it out. Other than that, I mean, there's stuff, but it's, you know, it's fine. Let's get to the show, Cody.
All right.
So we're doing chapter 2. No prelude needed. I'm going to go to the bathroom.
Technically, this is what I called chapter 1, because originally I had a chapter
0. Oh, yeah, because you started at, like, the prelude. I'm going to go to the bathroom, and then we can roll for initiative. Who goes?
I did, Jordan. I rolled a 1.
Oh, so anything I roll, as long as it's not a 1.
As long as it's not a 1.
I can roll literally anything. I can roll a 2. I rolled a 9. I'm going first.
You are going first.
I could have just thrown my dice out the window and still won.
Hey, you could have rolled a one. You could have rolled a one.
Yeah, but there's... Okay, I'm not even... Okay.
And then we'd have to go to our initiative modifier and see who has a higher initiative modifier.
Isn't initiative also based on proficiency? Don't you add proficiency in there?
I believe your initiative modifier is your dexterity and your proficiency modifier.
Yeah, proficiency. I literally said proficiency.
Well, no. So what I'm saying is your initiative modifier is your proficiency and your dexterity added together.
Okay, so what's your what do you think your dexterity is? Oh, you can.
I think at the moment
with your hand. And I think you that makes your dexterity a little bit higher than mine.
I think at the moment, like both my proficiency and my dexterity is higher than yours because you're sick. Or maybe say we have similar proficiency and dexterity, but right now you're sick, so you get a negative modifier on skill checks.
With disadvantage. Yeah.
Yeah, you're rolling with disadvantage here. But it doesn't matter. I rolled a one. I crit failed. It's your turn.
Yeah. Speaking of Baldur's Gate, it's great.
It is. It's really fun. Yeah.
Really love it. We cleared out the goblin camp. It was a lot of fun.
A lot of murder.
But it was a lot of righteous murder. So
I love goblins.
I'm a warlock, and she brought down the wrath of God. It was kind of fun to watch.
I really like goblins, so I want to be on their side, but there's no option to be on the goblin side and a good person, but I just like goblins, you know?
Yeah, you either join Mithara and then, really tick off Will and Karlak, or you just do the right thing.
Yeah, I did the right thing, but I felt bad while I was doing it. I kept trying to not kill goblins.
I'm eventually going to do an evil role, and I think I might do the, where you're crazy, what is
the
that?
Dirge?
Oh, Dark Urge, yeah. The Dark
Urge,
I kind of want to do that one. It's kind of fun. It's like, oh yeah, you're just talking to somebody, murder them. It's like, yeah. What? Oh, okay. Anyways, no stalling.
All right, Jordan, hit me with this story.
Yeah. I just got so much phlegm in my chest. So it's just not
going to I offered to reschedule, and you were like, nah.
Because, one, Sundays are busy for me because I do a show.
Oh, and well, two, that does make it hard, yeah.
The amount of times I've dragged myself out of bed to do a show, if I was a professional, this would be impressive, but we're amateurs on all of our, on all levels, so it's just kind of why are you doing this?
it's masochistic for no reason.
We don't have fans who are waiting for episodes.
We do actually have fans that are waiting for episodes.
Caitlin, but I already talked to Caitlin about my chapter, so, it's not even that big of a deal, which... meant to text her back about that, but I'm so bad at living. Anyways, chapter 2. Don't have a name for the chapter. Don't have a name for a story. This is the sky bubble crap. I'm really stalling. I'm sorry. Okay. I admit I was wrong to doubt us. I was wrong about everything. John was excitedly pacing back and forth in the elevator on the way back down to the base. I can't believe we actually pulled off a win. More like a complete shutout, an exhausted Lynn cheered. Come on, man. They didn't even stand a chance. Kairu told us that right at the start. I think her exact word was outperform, Aster said, following his sister. They were sitting closely together with their feet up on their gear, looking out at the rest of the team. Seriously, I feel high after that. Am I high? John asked excitedly, patting his face. I'm still blown away by that end of the first half play. I pass to Harper, expecting him to go after the 8-pointer, then he takes off to the Heaven Gate. I don't think they were expecting that bicycle kick straight down the line. Honestly, that was impressive. You even surprised me, Baz said while calmly looking out the window. It was nothing, Harper said, trying to play cool. You all did amazing out there. John, you navigated some great goals. Lynn and Aster, you blocked shot after shot. And Baz, you stopped Danson's multiple dives down towards hell. I think Kairu will be impressed. It went better than expected. Once they were in the air facing off against Danson and Charlie, John snapped into it. He still had to do some work for John, but overall the match felt good. It felt like every second he was stepping closer to his goal. Speaking of, where is Kairu? She didn't come to congratulate us after the match. I thought we would all ride down together, Baz asked. Well, the observation deck elevator is on the other side. Pros, we get our own private elevator. She'll probably meet us on the bullet rail, Harper said with a shrug. Man, I can't wait to party it up tonight. Imagine it. Us and all the new fans we got from smashing that Dick Danson's face in, Lynn said, heartily pumping a fist into the air. I wish I could do voices, and I wish I wasn't sick so it would be easier to differentiate.
I was actually going to make the note this would be benefited by voices just to help straighten characters, but it's
fine. Yeah, even I start reading a sentence like, who am I reading for? I also need to do what I used to do for the old stories, color code them.
I do that sometimes. I like it.
I got that from you. Like you're like, oh yeah, I color code to differentiate. I'm like, oh, that is a brilliant. That's a genius idea. It's so easy. Yet another victory to close down Blasters with, Aster said, grinning. The elevator began to slow to a stop, and the team began gathering their equipment to head to the train home. When the pneumatic door shot open, the previously missing Kaoru was standing right at the opening waiting for them. The outside lobby to the train station was nearly empty, leaving them and Kaoru to mild privacy. Instead of beaming with joy for the first win of the season, her brows were furrowed into a deep frown underneath her bright red ball cap. Despite barely breaking 5 feet tall, Kaoru was still impressively intimidating when she needed to be. Harper was the first who was brave enough to step out of the elevator and towards their coach. The rest of the team nervously followed suit. What? You're not excited to see us? We did it! Crushed our first match of the season, Harper said, prodding Kaoru's shoulder. She didn't budge. Instead, she looked him dead in the eyes with a sharp expression. You did. It was amazing despite being the sloppiest match I've ever seen you play, Kaoru said bitterly. Wait, what? Harper asked, confused. Harp, you hogged the ball the entire match. There were so many goals that were open for John, yet you forced through to make them yourselves when you yourself when you didn't have to. You only passed to him when it was convenient to you, Kaoru said coldly. Oh, come on! Harper was the MVP. We raked in so many points because of him, John said in defense. Actually, I would say MVP goes to Baz. Really? Baz asked, her dark skin blushing bright red. Yes, I would say you had some of the best blocks I have seen from you since I started. Blocking that hammer pass and turning it to a rebound for John to score an 8-pointer was impressive. Thanks, coach, Baz said, beaming. Back before Kaoru took over, it was rare for her to get a compliment. On the topic of blocks, Aster, you missed a few shots because you were sticking too close to Lynn. And Lynn, don't think I didn't see you throw that ball directly at Danson's head. I told you not to take his attacks personally. That kind of behavior would have been a lofty penalty against the team, Kaoru said, turning to Lynn and Aster. They both turned their faces away in embarrassment. Sorry, coach. I couldn't stand his smugness. Even when we took the lead early on, Lynn said apologetically while Aster stayed quiet. That being said, Kaoru's frown turned into a big smile. A win is a win. I'm so proud of you guys. And broke out in smiles and light laughter. Whew, I thought you were serious right then, John said, letting out a breath of relief. Oh, I was extremely serious. But we can talk about those things at Monday's practice. Tonight, you guys go out and celebrate a job well done, Kaoru said with a wink. So you're not coming with us to Blasters? Harper asked. Not right away. You guys get the bullet rail back. I have a few things I need to tie up before I leave here. I might see you a bit later. In the meantime, everyone have a drink on my behalf, Kaoru said, smiling, pumping her hand into the air. The team shared hugs and high fives, and then were on their way to the bullet rail that led back to New Haven City. The city was the center point where most pro and indie skyball players lived. Almost all of the pro arenas were accessible from the city by bullet rail. The high-speed train system that used the same clean energy the Skyboards used. The bullet rail connected most cities, countries, and continents. The Pro League utilized a private rail system that would go directly from city to arenas. This sleek technology was used not only for pro sports, it also helped connect the world as the nervous system of the restoration period. Within hours, you could travel across the world and bypass most travel by flight. For Skyball, people from all around the world would come to see both pro and indie matches. The train cars would be packed to the brim with excited fans and Skyball enthusiasts. Unlike the indie leagues, the pro teams had access to their own train cars. The team was happy to have their own space rather than be shoulder to shoulder with someone whose face was painted white and gold to celebrate Team Vol. This train ride would only last about 2 hours, giving the team enough time to relax before a night of celebration. The team spread out. Aster and Lin sat together, Aster quietly playing games on his hollow, while Lin slept with her head against his shoulder. Baz put in headphones and watched the changing scenery as the warm colors of the setting sun danced around the high-speed train. Harper and John sat on the floor, leaning against their gear, playing a card game that John had previously taught Harper. John talked for most of the train ride about any and everything, while Harper's focus went in and out, only gathering a small percentage of what John was saying. Harper's focus was on the match they had played and everything Kara had said. She was right. It could have been better, and despite that being something they would work on in practice, he couldn't help but think a continued sloppy performance would be the gatekeeper between him and his goal of championship. He would have to help Kara push the team harder. As the train was arriving at its destination, the early evening sky was lit brightly by the raging neon lights and advertisements in the city skyline. It was the world's most active city, a place that was vibrant both day and night. Blaster's Bar, the team's favorite after-game hangout spot, was a small hole in the wall amongst the city's wild nightlife. Central Haven Station was bustling with fans that were arriving at the same time. Pulling through the station into the private platform, the team saw crowds of all sorts of people with different Skyball teams merge. When the train stopped, the team got out together, placing their gear in the pods that would be transported to their homes that night. Free of luggage and any responsibility, the team would celebrate with their fans for the rest of the night. "All right, guys, we're back," Lin said with a sly smile. "Time to fuck shit up." The others laughed, then pushed the doors to the train station open. They were outside on the brightly lit street, where for the first time ever, fans of Team Golden Eagle surrounded their exit with signs and noisemakers. It was quite the commotion. John's face lit up with amazement, while Baz stood still, shocked with the amount of attention they were suddenly getting. Harper moved forward to talk to some of the fans in the crowd. Then suddenly Lin, who was lifted up on Aster's shoulders, shouted, "What up, you psycho fans? We're going to tear up Blasters on 8th and North. Follow if you dare." With that, like a Pied Piper, Lin and Aster led the parade of fans to their favorite bar, stayed towards the back of the crowd. She wasn't used to such a racket, so she kept her earphones in and kept up with the flow of the crowd. John, on the other hand, was greeting fans like a celebrity at an autograph signing. Harper looked and laughed with the exuberant Lin and Aster as they quickly became the life of the party. At Blasters, the two-story dive bar, the crowd of fans quickly filled the bar to capacity. Jeremy, the head bartender, and the other two on duty had their hands full with drink orders. Lin and Aster jumped up onto the bar, with Aster playing DJ with the bar's sound system, picking an assortment of party songs from his hollow, while Lin danced and sang to the onlooking crowd. As the party raged on, Harper noticed John at the bar talking to a woman with black hair in a stylish pixie cut and tattoos that crawled up and down her arms. He decided he would let John be and go elsewhere. Unfortunately, he had lost Baz in the crowd and feared that she had already left to go home. After standing at the bar for countless minutes, he began to fear he would never get a drink until he heard a light voice call out to him. "Hey there, killer." A woman with tan skin, wearing a dingy red hat with a dark ponytail sticking out through the back of it. She motioned to a beer, which Harper gladly took and nodded his head in thanks. There was no room around the woman, so he looked around for a place to sit. Much to his surprise, up in the balcony seating, Kara sat amongst the clamor, staring intently at her holopad. She looked up for 1 second to make eye contact with Harper and gave a slight smile. He pushed through the crowd to make it to her and cleared a seat next to her. She tipped a glass of her drink of choice and made a light clink against Harper's glass. "Also, it is hard that I wrote this an entire month ago. And like, I'm reading
it. I know
it
how
and
you like, feel.
Surprised by what I wrote. I'm like, wow."
I had that issue too when I was reading my chapter. I was like, ooh, this has been done for a bit. I don't remember all of it.
Yeah. And it's like thinking that I wrote something wrong and be like, oh, no. I did adjust. "Hey, good to see you here," Harper said to his oldest friend. Though, shame to see you couldn't peel yourself away from work for a second. He motioned to Kara's holopad, where she was watching a replay of the match against Black Ink. Every now and then, she would stop, rewind, and make some markings with her stylus. Well, if we're going to make it to the championships, everyone has to put in their 100%. You guys did your part today in the arena. Now it's my turn to work to guide you guys, Kara said with a light shrug. Today was one step closer to my dream. I wish I could see your smile, Harper said, looking off to the crowd below. It's not just your dream, Harp. The whole team is dreaming of victory for one reason or another. Plus, she was your mother, but she was my best friend. I want to do this to make her smile too, Kairo said. She was right. They started this together. Without Kairo, Harper would not be with this team, and the prodigy coach who was seemingly filled with miracles. I know, sometimes I'm amazed we even made it this far. I'm confident in my skill, though I still don't know if this team is ready. Oh, so you doubt me, Kairo said facetiously. Never, Harper fired back defensively. Good, because this is only the start, Harp. You guys party your asses off tonight. Monday we have a lot of work to do. I wasn't kidding when I said you guys were sloppy today. Okay, coach. He watched the replays over his shoulder while reminiscing about when they first started with the Golden Eagles. Part 2. Are you sure about this? Harper asked doubtingly to Kairo as he adjusted his training uniform. She walked at a brisk pace towards the tent in the back of the training facility where four members of a team played, and a coach sat in a chair in front of a booth that read Golden Eagles. The coach stared at his hollow with a dull focus that said he was bored out of his mind. He didn't bother to give his team attention, only focused on the blurred words in front of him. I've never been more sure about anything in my life, Kairo said swiftly as she continued to walk straight towards the Golden Eagle tent. It was the end of training week in the Independent Skyball League and time for Kairo to pitch her touted star player to a team for a potential draft. Really, though, this team is your Golden Goose? Harper asked, trying to follow beside her. Golden Eagle, she corrected. And yes, I'm more than sure. This team has more potential than any in the entire league. I mean that for both pro and indies. I'm surprised that the team with the most losses would use the symbol of hope, peace, and restoration as their mascot, Harper scoffed. You don't have to see what I see. Losses or not, I am sure this team is perfect for the championships. They just need direction and a point guard. That's where you come in. Fine, I'll follow your lead, boss, Harper said with a shrug. They made it to the Golden Eagle table where Coach Sterling Michaels sat. With the two stopping swiftly in front of him, he looked up angrily. What the hell do you want? The old man asked, seemingly annoyed by their presence. I am Kairo Nakamura, and this is my point guard, Harper Anderson, Kairo said with a polite bow. Shocked, Harper looked around for a second, then bowed alongside of Kairo. Psh, I know who you are. Saw your player throughout the draft skirmishes. He was the best out there, though that doesn't answer my question. What the hell do you want? Sterling spit sharply. I want to coach your team. I believe you are sitting on quite the lid of untapped potential, Kairo said confidently, brushing off Sterling's harsh attitude. Oh, really? New coach to the league sees a bunch of losers and thinks she can take over. You have me wrong there. I don't believe your team is a bunch of losers. I believe they just haven't gotten the right direction. Sterling broke out laughing in a near-fake cackle. Oh, so you think it's my fault? In short, yes, Kairo said sternly. Harper flinched. He didn't expect her to be so blunt. And you think you could do better than me? Sterling said, laughing again. He dissipated his hollow and looked up at the young woman who was dressed to the nines in a formal black jacket with gold buttons and a black-rimmed hat. She stood with confidence, holding her hands folded behind her back. Again, yes. Cocky new woman coach thinks she can come in and take a team as her own. Listen here, woman. It doesn't matter who coaches them. This team is a bunch of losers who can't even get a scrimmage match under their belt. I only took them in because I was bored on retirement. I'm telling you. They have already wasted my time, and they are destined to waste whoever takes them over, he snapped. I don't think you know your players as well as you think you do. I wouldn't preemptively call anyone losers while I sat at the helm, and I wouldn't be caught dead reading old wartime novels while my team puts in work behind me, she said sharply. I'm impressed. You really do think you know more than me, bitch. It doesn't matter what you believe or think. I have seen proof of their failures for 3 years, Sterling chuckled. How about this, Coach Michaels? I know you're a bit of a betting man. How about a little wager? Kara said with a smug smile. She did her research not only on the team, but on the coach himself. Coach Michaels couldn't help himself, and he leaned forward with curiosity. Go on, then. What have you got for me? I've gone ahead and done some work, under the guise of assistant coach of the Golden Eagles. I set up 5 skirmishes in the next 2 weeks with some of last year's teams. Team Gold, Team Trinity, Black Flash, Michiru, and Team Devil's Board. Let me coach for the next 2 weeks. You can sit back here on your ass as always, and I'll take the reins. If they win, you let me take over the team full time, Kara said, putting all of her cards on the table. You think this team can beat 3 of the best teams in the Indie Leagues right now? Are you planning to bet your luck on best 3 of 5 matches? He laughed. No, all or nothing, Kara said, unshaken. Fine then. If they lose even one of the matches, then I want you and your little dog to quit Skyball and never look back, Sterling said slyly. You're on. Kara excitedly stuck her hand out and the coach accepted the bet with a shake. Just then, one of the players, a stocky woman with tightly twisted hair, swept down on her heavy goalie's board, her dark skin glistening with a thin layer of sweat. She set herself to hover right next to Michaels, looking out towards Karu and Harper. Hey, Coach Michaels, she said nervously. What's going on? Nothing to worry about, Baz. Meet your new assistant, Coach. Karu Nakamura, and this is Harper Anderson, your new point guard. Oh, finally. We've been desperately needing a new point guard, Baz said with a sigh of relief. I think I saw you during some of the newbie showcase matches. Come out to the air and I'll show you the ropes. It was Harper's time to shine. He took his board off his back and used his glove to make the board fly around him and hover at his side. No need. I think I have quite the handle on this. We are going to have the hell of a time. His smile pushed confidence into arrogance. Back at the bar, Harper laughed to himself. He didn't realize you set up the matches in order of difficulty. Each match would be a lesson for the team, almost like we were doing a training week. You're a genius, Coach, you know that? Harper said, pulling Kara away from her work. Oh, that? It was nothing. It's easy to push things in your favor when you hold all the cards, she said. Well, let's just continue to push things in our favor, okay? Harper said, holding his drink out. Kara picked hers up and clinked it against his. To the new season, he said loudly over the crowd. To the new season, Kara repeated. And that's my chapter.
I liked that chapter. I do think you would be served by voices, but I get that that's hard because you have a lot of characters.
That, and also I'm sick, and I had a voice for the older coach, and I just, like, my throat and chest just couldn't do it.
Well, and I think, and this is, like, counterintuitive, but, and it'll probably happen as you go, I think you would benefit also from smaller scenes, like, not, because, like, you want to get the team dynamic down, but I think then it's easy to get lost in, like, who's who.
That's going to come later, it's just, yeah.
Yeah. No, but I think a lot of that is
trying to front load.
I think a lot of that is also down to you being sick. But no, I liked it. And I liked the part two more than the part one, but the part one was also not bad. But like I very much enjoyed part two.
Yeah. I mean, it's gonna come as it goes, but like I do want to create like a like stark contrast between how Karu approaches things and how Harper does.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I told Caitlin this too, but like just like how Harper sees the team as a means to the end and Kyra is more like, oh, I see the hidden potential behind and I want to work to bring that out.
Yeah.
And like, you see it like in little phrases, like he's like, oh yeah, I have to do more work and I have to help lead the team. And that's not really his job. And that's more Karu's, the director, and will kind of have them not necessarily clash, but like learn from each other throughout. So that's one thing I want to like subtly throw in there.
No, I like that and, though.
Like, I wanted to use the part two really to like show Karu's approach and like her confidence in people that others would have called losers.
Yeah. No, I like that. I think that's, it is both a good thing to have in the story and like an appropriate thing for the genre you're writing within. You know what I mean?
She's like slowly becoming my favorite character to write.
All right. You ready? So couple notes. First one is I was talking to my brother about my story and I was like, so, you know, the main character's name is Alcyon. And my brother's like, so is that like some kind of weird, overly dramatic anime boy? And I'm like, no, it's a grumpy old man. He's like, that's the worst name for grumpy old man I've ever heard in my life. And I'm like, yeah. And then his grandpa, who he like looked up to, but now is the old man's name is Sclair. And my brother's like, you had the name Sclair in your pocket and you didn't use that for your main character, who's a grumpy old man. I'm like, yeah, so anyways,
Alcyon, the freaking anime protagonist's name, like that is totally like the bright-eyed boy who wants to save the world to become the great hero. Like, what are you doing, Cody?
Well, so now the main character's grandpa, who is dead at the time of the story, is named Alcyon, and the main character's name is Claire. So I switched those two character names.
You did switch it.
Yeah, that's yeah, hilarious. I switched it. So Sclair is the name I'm going with. That's the main character now. We're moving on.
So when you listen to last episode, everybody, just like flip it.
Yeah,
just
you got to flip it. Yeah, yeah. Sclair's, Sclair's the old man. That's what we're going with. Yeah. Anyways, so
episode you did Sclair as a kid, and it's very going to be very funny, right?
No, Sclair's
like, there was a man telling the story to his grandson, and that was Sclair, wasn't it?
The grandson Sclair was the old man. Now that's Alcyon. Oh.
Okay. No, I mixed it up in my head. You're fine.
Yep. So right now the lineage is the main character of this story is a guy who has a son and the grandfather was the one telling the story in the prologue, right? That is Alcyon. Sclair is the main character. His son's name is Dieran.
All right. I'll get it as we go. I'll get it.
Yeah. It's there. I have less characters immediately dumped on you.
We paused there because my brain, like sick brain, just like flickered on and off. And Cody kind of looked like this isn't that hard. And I'm like, it is hard in my current state.
All right. Sclair sat alone by a fire sputtering in the bitter wind whipping across the beach. It had been many years since the laughter of children hoping to row out into the smoky sea and find gods had brought warmth to this cold, desolate beach. He looked out at the thick bank of fog that people called the Sea of Smoke. He snorted to himself, Sea of Smoke. A sea of festering air that makes fishermen lose their heading and run aground. Thing, they used to consider this dismal fog something that would call a young man to heroics. He hoped that he might sit out here and remember what it meant to be a child. It was stupid, though. The old man that used to tell him stories was dead, and with him died any ideas of mystery and the tension of adventure. Sclair stood and stretched the muscles in his back that complained at having been subjected to the squat stump of driftwood that he had been sitting on. Sitting on driftwood seemed like the thing to do when you wanted to be pensive by a fire, but all it got him was a bad back, and who was looking anyway? He stomped up the little beach to his little stone cottage. He passed through the shade of a neat little garden and grumbled under his breath at the state of the weeds that still needed to be pulled. The house glowed in the smoky night from the electric lights burning inside. The house was old enough that he had never met the family members that built it, but every inch had clearly been put together with love. The barrel tiles of the roof perfectly interlocked into the stone and mortar walls. Every detail had been meticulously chosen to house his family for generations, but now it stood empty except for him, the last caretaker of this property. The silence rung loudly in Sclair's ears as he entered the house. It was more than spacious, but every room that had been designed to be overcrowded with friends and relations now sat empty. He put a kettle on in the silent kitchen and dug out his brewer. Sclair wasn't sure he actually wanted the bitter-tasting drink, but long days on the open waters had given him the habit. Another useless affect carried over from his time as a true fisherman. More than anything, he hoped the whistling of the kettle might drown out the horrid silence. Sclair stared up at the sign that hung in his kitchen, the sign that his late wife Mira had carved into a piece of wood. Cast not your lance alone, for what might break the lance of one can be easy work for two. Those words, a saying of Nemagos, the god of all fishermen, had been said over many a squabble between cousins, spouses, friends, and children, and now that sign mocked him every day. He thought he should just pull it down and sell it or throw away, but Mira had made it and he couldn't bring himself to do that. So he just sat on a stool in his kitchen, staring at the sign, sipping his drag, a fisherman casting his lance alone. Sclair nearly fell out of his stool when a radio alarm broke the silence in his little kitchen. He stumped over to the nautical radio. It had been many years since anyone had hailed this frequency. He missed the days of having to flash a signaling light, but everyone had told him that radios were the newest and best thing for him. Now he had to give up one of his nicer studies to have this massive glowing radio with no one to ever talk to. The room was now sweltering hot all the time and smelled faintly of ozone as an odd assortment of glowing glass tubes lit the radio. The harsh hailing klaxon rang out again, making him almost miss the silence. He yanked the receiver up and punched down the talk button. Huh? Hello? Hello, is this, well, is this Sclair? Sclair rolled his eyes, and no one ever learned any manners. Who is this? This is Sasha? I don't know a Sasha. Get your damn frequency right. Sclair flicked off the radio and dropped the receiver, muttering to himself and stumping back to his kitchen to his probably cold cup of dreg. He sipped angrily, staring at the same fool sign that had hung in his kitchen for generations. Ooh, that had hung in his kitchen since his wife had carved it. Oops, I gave two different time frames for that sign to have been carved. The radio klaxon hammered again, breaking the silence in his house. Foot's fire, the devil's own burning machine, he limped back to the radio. I told you, I don't know you, stop ringing my damn radio! Sclair, Mr. Galenus, this is Sasha, I'm Deeren's wife, I'm so sorry to bother you, but... Sclair dropped his cup and it crashed down on the floor, fear making him feel sick and trapped. Is he all right? He didn't get hurt. I told that fool child that those rigs were an idiot's way to die. A man can't just make an island. God's own folly. How could a devil not take offense? No, Mr. Galenus, he's fine. I just wanted to call, and... Sclair's sharp anxiety wasn't replaced with the relief, his face twisted with hurt and rage. If he is fine, then why are you calling me? Deeren ain't been unclear. He doesn't want nothing to do with me, and that's fine. He can rot out there for all I care. Well, Mr. Galenus? It's rude to be radioing like this, and you should know better. Okay, to be clear, you care more about sleeping than you do about whatever your estranged son's wife is radioing you about in the middle of the night. Sclair's face went slack with shock at the shift in the woman's tone. His skin flushed from what must be the hot, stuffy room. He's the one that doesn't care. And, Mr. Galenus, I would have you know that I'm considered to be quite courteous, but I have also not been known to mollycoddle a bitter old ocean goat that has more salt than sense. You don't seem to have a very high opinion of me, so what in the devil inspires you to wake me up? Foot's fire, you're just like deer, and both of you are so darn hard-headed. Missy, if you're just going to insult me, I might as well go to bed. Missy? I think you mean Mrs. Galenus. I am married to your son, after all, making me... Oh, that's right, your daughter? Sure. Well, dear daughter, what can I do for you? Oh, father, thank you so much for asking. I need a fisherman. You married a fisherman? No, Sclair, I married a marine biologist. What in the devil would make that fool want to give up on fishing for the sake of staring at fish guts is beyond me. He stood on the boat and has done the same and could have done something useful. Yes, 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 and you both could have sat on that boat together yelling at women on the radio together. Better that than doing whatever nonsense he does now. I know you don't approve of our lives, and Dieran wouldn't reach out to you because he doesn't approve of yours. But either way, we need your help. The rig that we both live on is being attacked by a large sea creature that has yet to be identified. What kind of fish is it? As I said, unidentified. Devil's eyes, woman, what does it look like? I haven't seen it, but it's wrecking our rig. I think you don't understand. The bite marks and, well, other damage, the thing must be massive. But that doesn't make any sense. We are far, far from the smoke. To be getting these kinds of attacks doesn't make sense. But we really can't afford to hire anyone else to take care of it, seeing as how we're on a pretty slim budget. Oh, I see. I see. So this is a job to be done for free. It's charity that you're looking for. Charity? Sclair, it's not charity to take care of your own family. It's your responsibility. Responsibility? Responsibility? What about a son's responsibility to his father? To his legacy? The Galenus family used to be the greatest fishermen known in the whole Smoke Sea. Now I'm just a joke on this island.
Oh, are you okay?
Yeah.
Hard to keep that voice, huh?
Why do I do this to myself?
Yeah, now you see why I was, like, incapable of doing voices.
If my son wanted to be treated like family, tell him to come back and quit running just because this job is hard. So no, I won't come bail out my fool of a son. Remember this moment, Sclair. Remember it. I won't call you again, and you'll never know what happened to your son or to me for that reason. Sclair stumped back to the kitchen as the radio finally went dead, breathing hard, hands shaking. He paced back and forth, mumbling to himself. Never met such a rude woman. Never a please. Never a sorry. I taught that boy better than to behave like this. As he muttered, he dumped out his old cup of dreg that had long gone cold and started slamming open cabinets, trying to find the kettle that his wife used to use to make the drink for him. Wife used to use to make the drink for him when the family all lived here together. He grew more and more furious as he looked and looked and looked. Nothing ever in the right place, never where it's supposed to be. Soon, he just started slamming doors. He abandoned any pretense of actually looking for anything and just smashed a cabinet door over and over and over again, saying, "You left! You left!" until it snapped off the hinges. Finally, eyes wild and gleaming with tears, he looked up and saw the kettle on the stove where he had left it. He grabbed it and thrust it into the sink so hard that the metal bent and the old worn handle crumbled in his hands. He slumped back again. He slumped back against the counter, holding his face and shaking. He took a steadying breath. He looked up at the sign that his family had hung up in the heart of the house years ago. It was a simple saying of their god Nemagos, the god of all fishermen. Cast not your lance alone. He left, he said to no one. He left, and he didn't even bother to radio. Sclair strained and winced. He didn't want dreg anyways, and he had definitely needed a new kettle, and it was time to go to bed. He breathed out loudly into the silence and plodded back to his bedroom. The walls were a clean off-white plaster with beautiful tile floors. Inside the bedroom, there was an old and well-worn furniture and bedding that had clearly been handmade with love and care, and none of it brought Sclair any comfort as he crawled into bed and turned out the lights. The gentle lap of the sea, just enough noise to lull him to sleep. Sclair's dreams were a swirling tempest. Images of rage of a raging sea crashing over an odd-looking structure. Dark water lapping at bent, rusted metal, the scene illuminated by blue lightning. As he watched, a fish broke the surface of the water, its mouth wide, showing rows of gray teeth. The water around it glowing orange as spiked tentacles wreathed its muscular body. And where there should have been eyes, there were only gory holes. The devil's own Leviathan, grown massive by his dreaming mind, ripped a wave-battered rig to pieces. The vision slipped away into smoke pouring over the sea, spreading and consuming all the land and water. He saw his house decaying. He saw himself withered to a husk with age, a ghoul in his own home, cackling madly through rotten teeth. He saw his old smoker sinking, and then it all stopped. He saw a quiet island with a small wooden dock leading out from a white beach. There was a simple shack and a small sloop docked there. A man browned by the sun with hair faded by salt and sunlight, weaving a net of coarse rope with salt-cured hands, looked up at him. Beside him sat a basket of clean fish and a simple lance. As he caught the man's eye, he smiled. Sclair jerked awake to see a horrible sight that made his already bad mood much worse. And that is the end of my chapter.
So you did create, like, the most unlikable character that I think you ever showed. And I know it's the first chapter and he's going to change all that, but I was, like, sitting there just like, oh my god, Sclair, stop.
He's supposed to suck for a while, yeah.
Yeah, I get that. It's like those things where it's like, it works on me and I'm sitting over here hating the dude. So,
he gets more likable when he's in his element, but when he's not in his element, he is certainly not likable.
Yeah, and I think that's going to be a thing that you might want to navigate. And, like, you'll do fine, I'm sure, but, like, of how to keep it from being, like, to a point where it's like, I don't want to keep listening to this because this guy sucks so much.
Yeah, I mean, that's where having a cast of characters is going to be beneficial. And, like, there's already, like... I think I already kind of have some stuff that's going to make that easier. I think some of the supporting characters are going to help a lot with that.
Okay. Yeah, just like as long as you're aware, it's like, yeah, it's like you make someone so unlikable, it might just work.
Well, and so this is specifically the thing that he hates the most, right? Like this, yeah. Like his estrangement from his son is the thing that he is most resentful of in his life. So it is certainly not going to be him at his best. Like, that is him at his worst.
I bet. I just want to see how you navigate it. I think it'll be interesting. Any other notes? Sclair. Good name. Sclair.
Sclair is a good name. I like Sclair.
I wonder if I named the episode Sclair, but yeah, Sclair, good name.
I think Sclair and Nima Ghost are the two names that I'm most proud of.
Yeah, I liked your pacing for the episode. I like how you, like, you left enough to be desired to, like in usual stories where I'm like, okay, let's get to chapter 3 already. Where it at?
Halfway written, so I've already started on that, which is good.
I've been trying to do the thing where I'm, like, writing as we finish rather than finishing it all. So I have the main idea, but I just want to, like, get to it. But, yeah, no, interesting. I won't be around next week. We can talk about that off air. But, yeah, no, I like the chapter. There's a lot going on, and I'm excited to see where you go and how you navigate, like, the difficulty of, like, making an unlikable character watchable or listenable.
I think it will immediately get better.
Yeah, because you're gonna have, like, you told me about the characters that you played. I'm like, okay, I'm just gonna end up liking all of them, huh?
Yeah. Well, and I think you'll end up liking Sclair. It just takes a minute for him because he has a lot of bitterness.
Yeah, I get it. We'll see. And I mean, that's gonna be, like, a big point though. Is like when you make Sclair likable. Is always a thing. It's like, oh, this character that I hate at the beginning has become one of my favorites. It's always like a big thing. So we'll see. Let's see if you pull it off, buddy. I think you will.
I hope I do.
Yeah. But I don't have any notes because I'm like half dead, but I enjoyed it.
I understand.
I enjoy listening to a podcast as part of my podcast. like the moment where I can just like sit back and just listen to you talk is like, thank god
you did really sit back too. It was funny to like look up at you and you're just like
just like fully laid back, just like all in my sick, just like take this life from me.
You do look like an ancient vampire, like withered from lack of blood, just like laying in a sarcophagus or whatever.
Hey man, that's honestly great description of me right now. Yep. That's like pretty on point. Okay, Cody, let's close this crap out. What are some plugs?
You can check me out at the Wandering Gamer Network podcast, where we are playing actual play RPGs, which is currently, and I think probably still at the time of this release, I forgot both their names, Wanderlust and Corsairs of Castile, although I think Corsairs of Castile is going to be close to wrapping up. And then streaming sometimes on Tuesdays, sometimes on other days at Wandering_Gamers on Twitch.
What are you playing? Are you still playing Ocarina? Or?
Ocarina of Time. Yep. I'm halfway through the water temple and I lost a key somewhere and I got to go back and find it. That's where I'm at right now.
I truly hate the water temple.
You know, there are a few quality of life. This is a brief aside about quality of life improvements at the water temple. Iron boots should be a hot keyable button, like your Megaton hammer. And also, just make lowering and raising the water. You go up to the little plaque and click a button. I don't want to play Zelda's Lullaby 75 times. I'm sick of it.
Yeah, that does get annoying. I will say, at least for me, like playing it was fine because like I usually play games on mute when I'm on a handheld and listen to music, and I was on mute that time because it was. I think the water temple I did fully at night when I was having a bad like go of insomnia. But yeah, not having to hear Zelda's Lullaby 100,000 times is nice.
Doing the buttons for it at some point, I'm just like, because it's a kind of a cutscene. Oh, it just becomes
muscle memory.
Well, but I'd be okay with that, but it does the cutscene every time. So it like, you go up to it, you hit the buttons, you punch it in, and then you see yourself play the song and it does the little like purple illumination around you. And then you watch the water level rise and it's like, it just takes so long. I just want to click the button and the water level be up where it's at. Because you have to do it so many times, especially if you have to go back 3 times like I've had to do to try to find a stupid key. Anyways, my grumpy tangents are now over.
Yeah. Sorry, this is the end of the show and I like have things I want to say and like keep talking about. But I'm like, we need to end this show.
Also, the dragon's name in the Fire Temple is named Volvagia, and that's hilarious because that is the most almost dirty sounding name I've ever heard.
Also, I still posit that all of your friends die in that game.
I have multiple. I don't know.
Yeah, I know. We've talked about it all this year. Maybe after you finish, we can talk about the game again because it was something that I had played during the run of this game. Of this show. It was just taken away by because it was something I didn't get to as a kid and just was taken away by how good of a game it is.
It's really, yeah, it's super fun.
Much better it is than Majora's. That's right, Majora's sucks.
I agree with you 1,000%.
I have so many friends who will disagree with both it's of us in a heartbeat.
Trash. And it makes me mad that everyone's like, Majora's Mask is so good. I'm like, no, it's not. I hate being
a lot of people stupid little
nut monster for the first 30 minutes of the game. I don't want to be a little freaking walking acorn.
You beat that in 30 minutes? It took me forever to get
It took me long enough that I quit on the game every time because I'm like, I don't want to be this waddling acorn, all right? I'm sick of it. I just want to be Link. I don't want to be Squid Man. Well, now
So I was like trying to decide what my next game was. I kind of like fell out of Armored Core because I was traveling so much. I lost the skill of it. And it's just like I got stuck on a boss and just like being stuck on a boss and like if playing a game you're no longer good at.
Takes the wind out of your sails.
Doesn't feel good. So I was like trying to find the games like, oh, I can play Skyward Sword since I've never played that. But every time I mention Skyward Sword, you know what someone says to me?
It's
not great. Probably play something else. Every single time someone is like, maybe do something else. And I was like, that doesn't bode well for someone who's kind of like on the out with video games. So I picked 2 games and hopefully they keep my attention.
What 2 games?
Final Fantasy VI and World of Horror, which is an indie game based off of Junji Ito's works.
Well, I'm going to Google World of Horror.
Yeah. Yeah, it looks interesting, so that's what I'm going to be playing.
Oh, I've seen clips of this. Okay.
Yeah, it looks cool, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think I would enjoy either of those games, but I can respect
I don't think
choices.
You will, but we have a very different taste in games. That's the thing I find funny, because we talk about games that we like together all the time, but the majority of games that we play, we do not agree on.
I think that's probably pretty true. Oh, Mobile Suit.
But Dark Souls, Armored Core, Elden Ring, like the Zelda games I think are the only ones we truly agree on. And kind of Cyberpunk, but I still posit Cyberpunk sucks. Anyways.
We don't have to argue about that right now. Why would you make me argue about that right now?
No, we're not doing it on the show because we've already done that twice. So my plugs. You can check out my stream, We Belong, at something, I guess, 00 at twitch.tv or twitch.tv/something00. I will be posting our Junji Ito episode to the World Shop stream. So if you want to, if you haven't ever listened to We Belong and you kind of want to see what we're about, you can check it out there. We just talk about anime and just have a good time. And I will edit it so it's palatable for a listener audience and not someone who's watching it. And then you can check out my other podcast, The Side Characters, where we talk about diversity and nerd culture. We will hopefully be doing episodes again soon. Anyways, that's all I got. Cody, you got anything else?
I'm good, man. I'm good.
Okay. Thank you guys for listening. And as always, we will catch you on the flip side and at the next Demon Feast. Bye.
It's Demon Feast.
Bye.